You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in world sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Even when our lips are tied up.
I know.
That was weird. Sometimes we get our tongues twisted with the intro and things
Doesn't
going
matter.
On.
340 episodes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we have a legit reason, though, for our tongues and lips being tied this week. It's been very cold in the Philadelphia area this week. It's been crazy.
I was at the post office earlier. And I couldn't, my hands were so cold, I could barely write. I was filling out something, I could barely write. My hands were so cold.
Yeah. And personally, coming from me, I love hot weather. So, you know it's definitely cold when I'm saying, oh, it's a little cold out there.
Yeah. We recently had snow.
Yeah, we even had snow over the weekend.
Was it the first of the winter?
I think so. I don't remember any snow hitting the area.
I can't recall any.
So, yeah, it's been an interesting weather week here in the Philadelphia area for the show and everything here, but hopefully you're warm and cozy, whether you're listening to this in your car or at home.
Cuddling up with the podcast. Cuddling up with the crispy noodle.
Aww. That's so sweet.
Cuddling up with the crispy noodle with a cup of cocoa.
And treat yourselves to some chocolates.
There you go.
Even better.
Perfect.
So besides all the snuggling that you're doing with our podcast, I would like to do a little personal bit, let you know what we've been up to. So, Mike, what's up with you? What's happening in Costanzo country?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a chance to finish. I don't know if I talked about this already or not, but I finished Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order recently, video game. I couldn't remember if I talked about it on the podcast or not. It was pretty good.
Yeah, you're the one finishing the Star Wars games, which is funny.
I know. I figured you'd be all over that, but it's been, you know what it was? The holidays were so busy, and there were like so many big games that came out around the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it even took me a long time to get to it.
I'm still on Control. I gotta try and finish that one.
Well, you know what? It's funny you bring up Control, because Control and Star Wars were the two big games that I played from 2019. I'm a little bit late. I'm finishing them now in 2020. Or Star Wars I finished in 2020. And Control was my favorite, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order was close behind. It was very good. It wasn't as good as Control, but it was still a lot of fun. For those that don't know, it takes place during the purge of the Jedis between episodes 3 and 4. And I guess it's canon in Disney's new timeline.
Because, I mean, if Disney approved it, yeah, I would have to imagine.
Yeah,
it's canon.
I think so. So it's interesting the small little tie-ins there are to the larger universe. There aren't that many because it does stand completely on its own, which I really appreciate. But I also wanted a bit more from it at the end. It sort of left it open-ended. It was a nice little arc that completed, but it still left enough unanswered that it's like, I wish there was a little bit more closure. You know, I felt like it sort of ended on a, not a question mark, but maybe like a dot, 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 you know? But the gameplay was great. The story was fun. I liked all the customization. You could make your own lightsaber and customize, like, the color of the blade and, you know, all the other little
minutiae. Oh, so you can pull a Mace Windu if you wanted to?
You could pull a Mace Windu. There were lots of different colors that, like, cyan. Like, nobody has a cyan lightsaber. And it was, like, violet and purple and, like, weird colors. I was rocking a yellow blade because you never really get to see a yellow or an orange bladed lightsaber.
What, did you piss on your lightsaber?
Yeah, you know, it's just pissed on the lightsaber.
Whoops.
Whoops. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Very challenging as well, which I appreciate at times. And other times I was like, okay, it's a bit much. I don't really have time to fight this boss for the sixth time now.
Yeah.
But it was very good. It was like a solid, I wish, 8 out of 10.
I wish all video games had some sort of like a story mode where you could just play through the video game and just enjoy the story and not worry about having to like die and get through like boss fights.
Yeah, well, Star Wars did. I was stupid and didn't do that. I decided to struggle through on normal difficulty, which for me was tough. In my old age, my reflexes are slowing. My eye-hand coordination is getting worse, and I don't have the... I don't know how I played Sonic the Hedgehog as a kid, because I can't react to anything anymore. Like, bad guys will come lumbering at me from, like, 20 feet away. I'll be like, oh, what button is dodge? And I'll still get hit. But you were complaining, you were lamenting the fact that Control doesn't have difficulty settings.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of stuck on Control, because every now and then there's, like, a level that like takes forever for me personally to try and get through. So, yeah, like it takes me longer to finish a game like Control because there's no setting to set up the different difficulty or something, yeah. You know?
I would never have classified us as, like, expert gamers or hardcore gamers, but I feel like I'm just getting worse with age.
Yeah.
Like, I was already average, and now I'm like, I can barely play some of these tougher games.
Like, Soma did the best thing ever, introducing that safe mode.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to worry about dying. You can explore the story.
Right.
Every game should have that. Especially, that is so much fun.
So back in the day, games were all skill-based. That's where the replay value came from. Now, games are narrative-based. You play it for the story. In my experience, a lot of times. There are still skill-based games, but I play for the story. I play for the experience.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, having story difficulty mode is nice, definitely.
Yeah. So if anybody's listening over... at the company that did Control. Can you guys do that? That'd be great.
Just tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, because damn it, I'm stuck. So help me out.
Well, push through, Rich, because it's well worth it, the end of Control. I hope you get there.
I'll get there.
And have an update for us next week. But other than struggling through Control, have you been doing anything else recently?
Yeah. I got to tell this story. So Nena's been crashing the podcast last couple of weeks.
Yeah, she has.
She crashed our weekend plans. Rachel, my girlfriend, she got a, I guess it's a promotion or something at Xfinity Live where she was able to get half off drinks or something.
Nice.
It was like a little promo thing she won.
Right.
So she says, like, casually, you know, hey, anybody that's interested, come on down to Xfinity Live with me and, you know, we'll have some drinks. And Nena showed up and that was cool. And I got to tell this story because... I never would have thought this. There apparently Friday night at I think it's the Broad Street Bullies Bar, they do karaoke.
Okay.
And I knew Rachel was gonna love it because she loves to sing, so that was like right up her alley. So we go to the karaoke bar area that they have set up, and you know, we all go through the songs and everything, and it's all good. And then Nena goes up for her song. And I gotta say, Nena totally just blew it out of the park. I'm gonna issue everybody a warning here. If Nena is at your karaoke party, do not be the person that follows her.
Oh wow, she put on that type of performance,
she
huh?
I mean, she picked a great song. Maybe she'll explain everything that she did at a later date, but. She took over the stage. She danced. She did everything that she wanted to do, and I felt so bad for the poor drunk girl that followed her because it was just like it was night and day. It was just like you're not like Nena danced and did all the stuff on the stage. She even did like crowd interaction with the microphone.
Oh my gosh!
She
missed her true calling.
I was this is actually true. I was at the bar getting another drink. And I didn't even realize that it was Nena's turn yet. And all of a sudden, I hear a roar from the crowd. And I turn and I look. And there's Nena holding out the microphone to the crowd.
My God.
Like almost like freaking 8 Mile where, you know, the scene. Like,
right.
You know, it was crazy. It was absolutely bizarre.
You know what, though? That totally makes sense for Nena.
Yeah. So,
I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody has video of that, but if anybody does, anybody
well, what
was
were
there,
you doing, Rich? Too busy getting drinks? You should have been taping.
Sorry, I was over at the bar.
Come on.
Sorry, I got to get the drinks in. that half-off promotion only lasts until midnight. I had to get that in.
You had to get as many drinks in as possible.
Right.
So heads up, if Netta's at your karaoke party, do not be the one after her.
Oh my gosh.
She just owned that crowd. It was
so great. We got to get her to sing on the podcast then.
Well, she said she always wanted to sing a Thanksgiving song.
Well, we got 11 months until that happens
right.
again.
So someone come up with a Thanksgiving song so Netta can sing it. that's the to-do.
That's the goal for 2020.
That's the to-do list.
There you go. Get Netta to sing Thanksgiving song.
Write Thanksgiving song. There you go. All right. So now, with all that in mind, I think it's time to get to the first person.
First person. What was that about being tongue-tied?
First person. Hi, how you doing? Wow. Yeah, this weather's messing me up. And you know, something else I got to say, there's like a little flu or something going around. I'm hoping I'm not getting it.
Well, now there's a virus coming in from overseas,
just do me a favor.
Too.
Oh, I forgot about that. Don't even. You're going to get me worried over here.
Uh-oh.
But just everybody, if you're sick, stay home.
Don't come into the office if you're sick.
I can't. There's people that still come in the office that I work at, and it's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, your eyes look like you're about to keel over.
Oh,
like,
geez.
Just stay home. Anyway, that's a little minor pet peeve. Anyway, let's get back to what I was originally saying. Let's get to the first part of the show that go over the world of sports. It's the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face. And we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less here in the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. I have the clock armed and go. What do you have, Mike?
All right. First up in the 2 minute drill, we have a little bit of bittersweet news. Carolina Panthers star linebacker Luke Kuechly has officially retired from the NFL at the age of 28. Kuechly, one of the best linebackers in the league and still considered in his prime at the position, made the announcement last week. In just 8 years in the league, Kuechly amassed nearly 1,100 tackles, the most by any player since 2012, and was named to 7 Pro Bowls and 5 All-Pro teams. The Panthers team and fans will surely miss him, but it seems like he made the right decision. In a 3-minute video address, he said, quote, "There's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid. Play fast, play physical, and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I am able to do that anymore. That's the part that is the most difficult. I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision," end quote. While he didn't explicitly state why, many believe the early retirement stems from Kuechly's difficulty with concussion injuries. From 2015 to 2017, he missed 7 games due to concussions. With the increasing focus on concussion injuries and their devastating aftermath, it's becoming more common for players to retire before 30. Rich, what do you make of this news? This is kind of shocking and really sad for Panthers fans and the team, but also, I mean, Kuechly's got to do what's right for him.
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, this sounds shocking, but when you look over the past year in terms of people who've retired, it's starting to grow really long. Andrew Luck, Doug Baldwin. I mean, these are players that are relatively young, and they're just saying, no, I don't want to risk my body anymore.
Yeah, well, I have the list here on ESPN. Since 2018, you have Doug Baldwin, Andrew Luck, Rob Gronkowski, Luke Kuechly.
Yeah,
And then if you go back to even 2017, Cam Chancellor, Calvin Johnson back in 2015, lots of players retiring 30 or younger. It's sort of a new trend the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't fault them. You got to do what's best for you and your body and your family. So.
Absolutely.
Godspeed. There you go. The 2 minute drill right there. Now it's time to recap the NFL conference round games. We had the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game on Sunday, and now we know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Mike, where do you want to begin?
Oh, boy. I guess we should start with the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs ended the Titans' improbable playoff run, defeating the underdogs 35-24. Big Red is back at the big game.
Yes.
How exciting is this for Andy Reid?
Very exciting. I'm rooting for him completely all the way. I think everybody in Philadelphia should be as well.
I mean, you got to. It's been, what, 15 years?
He was such a great head coach for us. I know we always like to make fun of him for his press conferences and for his food, for his liking of food and everything like that.
For his liking of food.
But
yes.
You know what? At the end of the day, he still knew how to coach a team. I mean, very rarely did he ever put together a horrible season. I mean, it really only came at the end when the franchise was in turmoil.
Yeah, and that wasn't entirely his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't have the exact stats with me, but he's got to be one of the winningest head coaches, I think, to ever coach the game. I mean, he's been doing it since head coach since 99.
Yeah, and during those years in the 2000s, he had consistently 10-6, 11-5, 12-4 seasons.
There was a stretch from, I think it was 2001 to 2004, where he posted, it was like four straight seasons of 11-plus win seasons. I mean, sort of like the Patriots do every year. He was doing that as well. He was, you know, keeping pace with the Patriots at one point.
Andy Reid has, as of right now, 207 regular season wins.
Wow.
Which ranks him sixth all time.
There you go. He's just outside the top five.
In terms of the active coaches, only Bill Belichick has more. So,
I mean, that's an impossible mark to match. So Andy Reid, you know, outside of the best coach of all time, there's Andy Reid.
And by the way, the next winningest head coach active,
yeah,
in terms of coaches that are active, is Mike Tomlin and Pete Carroll at 133.
Yeah, so I mean,
so
there's a huge gap. I mean, part of that's longevity, but also the fact that he took two different franchises to Super Bowls now.
Yeah.
In the Eagles previously and the Chiefs now. He's just a great coach. And he's never had, I made this point last week when we were picking the games, he's never had the type of offense that he does with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, offense is his bread and butter, and he's never had those types of weapons. In Philadelphia, he never had those weapons.
Nope. He's got an explosive offense that he finally deserves.
Yeah. So, really excited to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, there is another team heading to the Super Bowl. A little team by the name of the San Francisco 49ers close out the season as the best team in the NFC, stomping the Green Bay Packers 37-20. That score is a little bit misleading.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
It could have been much worse. I think at one point it was, let me see if I can get this right, it was, what, 34-7 at one point. I picked the 49ers. I thought it was going to be a close game. It really wasn't.
Nope.
It was a repeat of their earlier game. That was really shocking for me. I thought it was going to be much closer this second time around.
I did too. But, right now the 49ers, they're playing at a great level right now. The defense is just shutting teams out
that
right
defense
now.
Defense is scary. I mean, what they did to the Packers.
Yeah.
It's the Packers.
Yep. And their running game too. I mean, literally,
I don't know where that came from.
Jimmy Garoppolo... He only threw eight times in that game. That's it. So
he could have sat on the bench.
Right. Exactly. You don't even need Jimmy Garoppolo.
So, well, I guess this is looking forward too early, but like, I'm looking at
this. Yeah, because we got another week until Super Bowl.
But I mean, just initial gut reaction. I'm looking at these stats and I'm thinking the Chiefs have a decent defense, but I think the Packers were a little bit better defensively and they just got steamrolled.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm really looking forward. I wish the Super Bowl were this weekend because I really want to see how this ends up. I mean, you have one of the best defenses, one of the best offenses. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes. And even Vegas agrees because I think the opening line was 1 point.
Wow.
So there's not even a
it's going to be a
decisive favorite.
It's going to be a good game. Much better than the previous Super Bowl.
Yeah. It should be an offensive explosion.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we said last year.
Right.
Please, let's not have another one of those.
No. Well, I think it's a very good sign that both of these teams put up 35 plus points in their respective conference championship games.
Yep.
You know, I'm hoping, you know, as much as everybody likes a good defensive battle, when it comes to the Super Bowl, you want to see scoring. You want to see 41-33.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to see 10-6 or 17.
Well, what was it last year? 13-3? Wasn't that the final? That was embarrassing.
Something, yeah. I mean, we were all there, you know, sitting in your house. We're going, oh, my God.
No, but that's the thing. Nobody was actually watching the game because
it was so boring. You could leave and go eat an entire meal in your kitchen, come back, and nothing would have happened.
Yeah. I felt so, like, it was just kind of, just everything was just kind of lackluster because the game wasn't, like, picking up.
Well, no, I mean, we all had a good time.
Yeah.
But the game was sort of just like back. It was like soft background music,
yeah.
You know, instead of like the thing everybody wanted to watch compared to 2017 where you couldn't even leave the room.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, hopefully we get more of an offensive showing this year because
I think we will. I think there's a good chance of it being a really, really good game.
Yeah.
And also, can we just appreciate the fact that these are two teams that we haven't seen in the Super Bowl in years?
Yeah.
I mean,
Chiefs, well, the last time they were in the Super Bowl was 50 years ago.
Well, yeah, in our lifetime, we haven't seen... No, maybe the 49ers have been in our lifetime.
Yeah, the 49ers have been, but not the Chiefs.
But, I mean, the past decade, it's been the Patriots and whoever the NFC sends out there to die.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the last 3 years have been all freaking Patriots.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm tired of seeing the Patriots, the Steelers, the Packers, the Saints, just this constant rotation of the same team. So I'm really excited to see the Chiefs and the Niners. I love the Niners story, you know, completely turning that franchise around. I love the Chiefs story of Andy Reid getting another shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, great storylines, great teams, explosive teams. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll do all of our actual Super Bowl coverage next week because there's a week gap in between.
Stupid Pro Bowl.
Yeah, with the Pro Bowl.
Can I just rant for a second? I hate how they changed it all. It feels so weird, this like downtime now with this Pro Bowl this week.
Well, there's always been 2 weeks in between the conference championship and the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just feels different for some reason.
Different that the Pro Bowl is now in the middle of it?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, they're used to, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting older and more ornery and crotchety, but I have less patience for it now. I want the Super Bowl right now, Rich.
The Pro Bowl or the... See, I don't know what you're trying to take offense
at. I'm taking offense to everything.
Because
the world.
It seems to me your complaint is actually against the two-week spread in between the conference championship
and the
Super Bowl.
I think it's the fact that they jammed the Pro Bowl in there. Like, it's a distraction. I want to talk about the Super Bowl. I don't want to deal with the Pro Bowl right now. The Pro Bowl was a nice little end-of-the-season treat. Now it's like... It's this weird distraction in the middle of everything. We should be gearing up for the Super Bowl, and it's just this weird.
So you actually
side
do
tangent.
Hate the Pro Bowl, then?
I'm not a fan of the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you hate everything. The Pro Bowl, the 2 weeks.
I hate the Pro Bowl, the 2 weeks, everything, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm just really excited for the Super Bowl. I just want to see the Super Bowl.
All right,
why
well,
can't football just give me the Super Bowl? And then immediately start the next season, because I don't want to not have football.
Well,
and I'm sad that the season's already over.
Sorry, you have to deal with it, because once the Super Bowl ends, it's golf and baseball and basketball and hockey.
It's the worst time of the year.
March Madness? No, you kidding me? It's the best time of the year. Coming up, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, sure.
Woo!
This is the time of the year where I completely check out of sports.
And
I'm just like here. So nobody knows in the rundowns when it's football season, I go all out. I'm writing paragraphs of content. When it comes time for golf season, I just literally put in the rundown golf story here and just leave it up to Rich to insert whatever he wants to put.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, there's another string, though, that you can grasp on here. And I think
all the strings.
But this is actually a pretty strong string. And I think this is actually going to be one that lingers for a while.
Okay.
Because right now, everybody that isn't playoff focused or Super Bowl focused, everybody is worried about Tom Brady. Everybody's wondering where he's going to go. Every move that Tom Brady has made has been reported on ESPN, Fox Sports, everybody. Everybody is putting him under a microscope. The coverage for this is insane. It's like the Pope or something. It's crazy. They're waiting to see any sort of smoke signal to come up to determine where Terrific Tom's going to end up. Long story short is that Terrific Tom is essentially going to be an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career, unless the New England Patriots decide to offer him another contract, which is kind of not looking like it'll be the case, because he's going to turn 43. So unless they do something where it's a 1 to 2 year contract.
You really think they're not going to sign him?
No, I'm reporting the news here.
Okay.
So basically everybody.
Nonsense. Don't report the news. This is not a fact-based endeavor. No, go ahead.
So basically everybody, all the morning shows, the pardon the interruptions, the around the horns, everybody is trying to figure out what in the tea leaves is it going to mean for Tom Brady. Is he actually going to go to another team at 43 years old and try and win a Super Bowl with a non-Patriots team?
I think there's more a chance of us discovering the Loch Ness Monster being real or Bigfoot being real than Tom Brady not playing with the Patriots. At 43, first off, most teams have a starter in place or a rookie they're developing. Okay, so it immediately eliminates the vast majority of teams.
Yeah, there's some that don't, though.
There's a few, but Tom Brady would never want to go to any of those teams anyway. At 43, you're not going to go to a project team or a team that's, you know, completely demolished to do what? That's not what Tom Brady's looking for at 43. So that immediately eliminates like 27, 28 teams out there.
Yeah.
Easily.
Right.
The last handful, it's just, I don't see Tom Brady. I don't see Tom Brady moving. He'll retire before he doesn't play for the Patriots.
But he has been stubborn. And I'm trying to play devil's advocate here.
I know.
He's the one that's been saying, I want to play till I'm 45, 46.
Right.
So do you think that he's going to be so stubborn on that fact? And the fact that he wants to have a seventh Super Bowl ring, that he'll, you know, he'll be willing to jump ship.
Let me counter that with another question. What was the Patriots record this year?
13-3.
And how old was he?
42.
And you think they won't re-sign him for whatever he wants? When's the last time they had a season where they didn't have double-digit wins?
I guess the year after they won the first Super Bowl. Because that would have been the year that they didn't make it.
Yeah. So there's I could see maybe if they had a slip in quality this year, maybe. But he's still Tom Brady. The team is still, you know, maybe he's slowing down a little bit, but they still went 13-3. And yeah, they had an early exit, but so did the Ravens, you know? And the Ravens were even better. So, like I said, there's no chance in hell Tom Brady doesn't play for the Patriots.
What would you say about the fact that the front office staff really did not do anything on the offensive side of the ball other than trying to grab Antonio Brown, which that was a failure, and Mohamed Sanu?
So you're saying that the lack of moves is somehow an indication that they're looking to move on from Tom Brady?
Or just that they're not...
They're not serious about the offense?
They're not helping him out.
They're not helping out. Well, they do need to help him out. I don't know why. I guess they... that's always been the Patriots' MO, though. Sign some random wide receiver for, like, your first... You know, trade your first overall pick for the... whatever wide receivers on the market. You know, they've been doing that for years now. A couple years now.
Yeah, but this year it didn't really...
This year it didn't work out, but it's not that they weren't trying to get him help. They were actively trying to get him help. They traded for, or they signed Antonio Brown. They traded for Sanu. Sanu got injured. Brown decided to start sexually assaulting people. let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
So it's not through lack of trying. The Eagles didn't try. The Patriots tried, and it just backfired hilariously in their face. And yet they still went 13-3. So, you know, I just... Shrug emoji. Nobody can see me shrugging. He's going to be back. Right now, it's just both sides being coy. Every player, every marquee player does this with every team. It's like, oh, I'll test the market. Then they're going to come back in, you know, the next couple of months. They're going to sign him to a 4-year backloaded contract, which is basically a lifetime contract because he's going to retire at 45. And both teams will part amicably, and the Patriots will, you know, cease operating as a franchise so that they can be enshrined as the best franchise to ever play the game, and you will get your greatest wish of never having to see them again. Because I can't envision a Patriots without Tom Brady. I think Bill Belichick would retire too when Tom Brady retires. Because here's the issue, right, that nobody wants to talk about. Is it Brady or is it Belichick? Right? Because we've seen Patriots teams be very good without Brady, and we've seen Brady carry the Patriots on their shoulders. So who is the coach or is it the quarterback? As soon as they part ways, everybody's going to find out. And both of their legacies are in jeopardy. So I think they're both at this point where they're like, if one retires or if one moves, the other retires or moves, because that's how you preserve the legacy. That's how you preserve the myth of the Tom Brady Belichick Patriots, right? Why would he risk going to another team and falling flat on his face after being the very best quarterback to ever play the game for 20 straight years?
What happens if maybe behind the scenes, the Bill Belichick or the front office is planning on drafting a new quarterback and is like, we need to start moving on from Brady? Do you think maybe that...
They tried that already, and Brady basically forced Garoppolo out.
Right.
Remember that?
Right. But that came from Robert Kraft.
Is he still not the owner?
Right.
until he goes to jail for getting one too many tug jobs.
But do you think that at some point they've got to start planning for the future?
Oh, what you say is logical.
Right.
But it also is illogical because it's the Patriots and they defy the very concept of logic. You know this.
Yes, I do.
I know I'm being very stubborn and very problematic for your arguments, which are all very cohesively and logically sound, but that's the problem, is that that type of stuff doesn't work with the Patriots for whatever reason. You're like, oh, this shouldn't happen, and it's like, okay, well, it just did.
Yep, here's our sixth Super Bowl.
Here's our sixth Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't happen. You know, we're living in an era where we're witnessing the impossible happen. So, yes, they have to draft a quarterback. They have to. At 43, they can't not start preparing.
Right.
But they can also sit that young quarterback for a couple years like Aaron Rodgers did, right? While Brady does his whole thing for the next 2 years and then gracefully retires, becomes quarterback's coach.
Is there any chance, if I could give you like a pie of 100%, is there any divvy it up that you could see where Brady goes to another team?
1%.
1% where?
1%. I don't know. Broadcast booth.
Outright retires.
I'm looking at an article I found right here. They say he's going to go to the Chargers. I don't see it. I don't see it. What about you? Like, honestly.
Honestly, I'm in the same boat. I think it would be ludicrous for Brady to Joe Montana his legacy.
Yeah, it's such a risky move. And I think about who Tom Brady is, who had such a hard time after he lost to the Eagles. Oh, my God. If somebody that fragile in terms of legacy, could you really see him going to the Chargers or to any team, rather?
I think it'd be a very tough sell.
Like I said, 1%.
But do you think that with the my problem is I'm with you actually.
I know you're trying to create a devil's advocate here.
Right, but it's one of those situations where unless something comes down the pike indicates that he's going to move on from the Patriots, I don't see it happening either.
So what would have to happen is there would have to be a schism between Brady and Kraft. Because Kraft and Brady, that alliance, is what tanked Garoppolo's future with the Patriots.
Right.
Because Belichick wanted Garoppolo.
Yes.
Do you think he wanted to let him go for nothing? You know, and now clearly Garoppolo's in the Super Bowl, so Belichick had to have seen something in him. So there would have to be something that schisms Brady and Kraft. And unless that relationship is fractured, they're going to do whatever possible to keep Brady on. Brady has never demanded the highest contract or the longest contract or the most guaranteed money contract. He's going to do what he's going to do to be able to stay on the team and make it about the team because he understands the importance of legacy and, you know, maintaining that Patriots winning ethos.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he's one of those players you want to remember him as a Patriot, you know? If he spends 1 year with the Chargers,
yeah,
it's like, why? You're going to be like, why the hell did he do that?
It tarnishes the whole legacy.
Yeah. So, I agree with Mike. I don't really see this actually happening. I think this is a storyline that the ESPN and the Fox sports outlets are trying to conjure up so that they have something to talk about.
It's the off-season.
When the Super Bowl ends. If there is any sort of reason that Brady leaves New England, I guess it would be to the Chargers.
That's the only one I could see because Rivers seems like he's done.
Yeah.
Right?
But that team has talent.
Yeah.
And they just need a leader.
Is Breeze at the end of his contract with the Saints?
Maybe. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I mean, that could be another landing spot in this weird hypothetical situation that doesn't make any sense.
I think the Saints would hold on to Breeze as long as they could.
Okay, so he's over 40 and now a free agent, according to CBS Sports. Mm. Maybe they swap.
Do a swap.
Yeah, they swap. Like maybe a team gets rid of a quarterback who we don't foresee. Like, the Panthers are probably done with Newton, right?
Yeah.
At some point. I don't know if they're ready to compete right now. Like, I'm just trying to, like...
Do you think Belichick would actually... Maybe this whole stems from maybe Belichick is actually like, you know what? No, I want a new quarterback.
I mean, but why?
Well, because Brady couldn't throw deep down the field in a couple of those last games.
I mean, yes. I mean, Belichick is always thinking team first and looking to acquire those pieces. That's why he's drafted for quarterbacks in the past, while Brady has been in his prime. So, yeah, probably in the back of his mind, he's thinking about the next step, the next chapter.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, you got to fracture that Brady-Kraft relationship first. That's the one that forced Garoppolo out. That's the one that forced Jacoby Brissett out. You know? Every time that a young quarterback has come up, who was the other guy? There was another guy at one point. What was his name? I can't remember. Before Garoppolo. What was his name? You know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. He was with Green Bay for a little bit.
Yeah. But that guy.
That guy.
They forced... like, look at how many decent quarterbacks have been forced out because of the Brady-Kraft relationship, who went on to play decently with other teams.
Yeah, now one's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, like, it's an interesting conversation, but like you said, it's what the media outlets are trying to spin into an off-season story, you know?
I think so as well. But I would give it around a 10% chance.
Okay. 10% is more optimistic than my 1%, but realistically, both percentages are stupidly low.
Right. I just don't see Tom Brady putting on another uniform. That would seem foreign
to me.
I
feel like he'd retire before then.
I don't know. He is stubborn. He does want to show people that he can play till he's 45.
Yeah, I guess.
But I think it comes down to whether or not the Patriots actually decide to leave him at the table.
Yeah.
I don't think the Patriots will do that. Either Belichick or Kraft will stick around and pay the bill.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's our honest opinions over the whole Tom Brady fiasco. Because apparently that's going to be a topic you're going to have to keep listening to sports radio.
We'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah. But there you go. That's our honest thoughts about it. We're done sports now, but we still got another part of the show coming your way. The entertainment entree. We've got a couple topics there. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
The first Rocky movie is now 40 years old.
Wow.
That, I can't believe that. That's nuts.
This movie is a classic. I think it won 3 Oscars.
And Best Picture.
Including Best Picture.
Yep.
You know, some people might think of it as just another dopey sports movie, but it's so much more than that. I mean, it captured the perfect story of an underdog, but also in a unique twist, an underdog who doesn't end up winning. But
spoiler,
well, it's a 40-year-old movie. But Rocky was such a big movie at the time. Still is a big movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's ingrained in Philadelphia.
Especially for this area. I mean, that is a huge movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the number one thing where when visitors come to Philadelphia,
where
are the Rocky steps?
The Rocky statue.
We need to go see the Rocky
steps. Yep. Oh, if you go to the art museum, there's always people running up and down the steps and taking pictures. Did you ever run up the steps?
Yeah, like
I didn't run up the steps.
Like when I was a kid. Yeah, like,
I'm not the running type.
Poor
I slowly plodded up the steps and looked out. I'm like, this is a pretty good view.
You're the slow version of the tiger.
Eye of the tiger. Hold on, let me take a break. Yeah.
The mouth of the llama.
The mouth of the llama. The mouth of the llama. It chews on the grass. All it does is eat hay all day. It's the mouth of the llama. It's drooling out of the side.
But everyone likes to look at the llama.
I don't know why the mouth of the llama is the first thing that popped into your head. The mouth of the llama.
Yep, that's your...
Of all the animals.
That's your...
That's my...
That's
I love
your theme
it.
Song.
That's my theme song. The mouth of the llama.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Friday. We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. We shut down all that talk of Tom Brady leaving New England.
Oh, yeah. None of that nonsense.
None of that. Uh-uh. We're not these regular sports shows in the morning trying to dredge up topics that aren't actually going to happen.
No, we finish our topics in 10 minutes.
That's right. Take that.
We don't spend weeks talking about it. It's nonsense. We cut through the bull. We're so smart.
Yeah. We're looking at you, Skip and Shannon, in the morning.
Oh, I hate them so much.
I love the fact
Skip Bayless is the worst person ever.
He is. And then Shannon just goes, Skip! Like, every time, like, Skip! Like, he has this, like, weird inflection when he mentions his name.
You know,
Skip!
That's a great point. I just watched an interview Miles Sanders did with them a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. Miles Sanders was on one of them.
I don't know. Maybe people in the comments were like, oh, they're so good. It looks like they were having a fun time. I thought it was a terrible interview.
Well,
because
I mean,
Skip and Shannon, they didn't bring anything to the table. Skip is so blatantly a Cowboys fan.
Right. I think I saw that interview. Skip was totally like trying to like crap all over the Eagles season.
Yeah.
But still try and make him feel good about himself.
Right.
And then Shannon was like, yo, I'm your boy. And like, that was it. That was like the entire interview.
And then he kept prying about the Orlando Scandrick thing.
Yeah.
And like comparing Miles Sanders to Saquon Barkley. I was like, this is a... And they were asking him, who do you think is going to win Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
It's like, well, of course he's going to say he has confidence that he's going to win himself. You know, it's like, I don't know. I thought it was a terrible interview. That's just me. Also, I hate Skip Bayless, so maybe I'm a little biased.
There you go.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, maybe my random clip of the week will make you feel better, which you will hear as we enter the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
I, too, have been here 23 years, and it is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Yeah, there you go. How do you like that, Skip?
God.
Skip! There you go. How do you like that? Jerry Jones wants to have a glory
Jerry
hole.
Jerry Jones.
Maybe you can join him for his glory hole pageant or whatever at the Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium.
And it is a reminder, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Yeah, he wants some glory hole.
What did he think he was trying to say?
I think he was trying to say glory hall or...
That still doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, maybe that's...
Glory hole days.
Glory hole is not what Jerry Jones thinks it is.
Oh, man. Maybe it's exactly what he thinks it is. I don't know.
That's what he wants to do with Dak in the locker room.
Oh, jeez.
I want me some glory hole. Come over here. I'm lonely, son. Come over here.
Oh, my God. They share a nice plate of spaghetti with ranch dressing, and then
that makes me more disgusted.
And then they go to the glory hole.
Oh God, how could you put ranch dressing on spaghetti?
I hate everything about the Cowboys.
Yes,
top to bottom, left to right.
Yeah, they're doing glory hole. They're putting
ranch on spaghetti.
That offends me more than glory hole. All right,
I just feel like it'd be so disgusting. The ranch on the spaghetti.
Ugh, that offends us.
That offends us as Italians.
Yes. As Herm Edwards says, this whole conversation bothers me.
Yes.
So, there you go.
Good job, Jerry.
Yeah, make sure that we never lose this sound clip of Jerry Jones saying glory hole instead of glory hall.
I, too, have been here 23 years. And it is a reminder, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
You have to isolate that. I want me some glory hole. I want me some glory hole.
Like, oh,
that is the
God.
Most. Oh my God.
That is the most rednecky.
It is. Old. It is the most backwoods rednecky disgusting thing.
Yeah.
I want me some glory hole.
That sounds like something someone in our odd news section
like would
say.
Something from like Deliverance.
Yeah. I want me some glory hole.
That's why you have to isolate it. It is like perfect odd news fodder right there.
Yes. So please, we need to save that before, you know, Jerry Jones and Dallas Cowboys ruin it or take it down from the internet. So good. All right. Well, I'm glad that put a smile on your face because now it's time for Mike to take over for a little bit. He needs to let us know what's coming up this weekend in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Trash!
Yeah, what endless trash is coming your way?
Well, you know, it's appropriate you played that because you mentioned about how January is not good for new releases, and oh boy, that holds true for this week. It was tough finding some notable movies and TV shows to talk about, but I think I found two that might be kind of interesting, maybe. We'll see. In theaters, The Turning is a new horror mystery film coming out this week. The synopsis is, quote, a young governess is hired by a man who has become responsible for his young nephew and niece after the deaths of their parents. A modern take on Henry James's novella, The Turn of the Screw. The trailers have been getting a lot of airtime, but given the rating and genre combo, a PG-13 horror film, and the lack of reviews right now, the outlook isn't great for this movie. Still, it looks like it could be a sufficiently creepy good time. And with Finn... What is this guy's name?
Wolfhard.
And Mackenzie Davis starring. It has
Every
some
time
talent.
You put him in the rundown, you misspell his name.
I've never spelled this kid's name correct once.
Finn Wolfhard.
And Mackenzie Davis. It's got some talented actors behind it.
Soon you're going to put Mr. Worf on there from Star Trek.
Mr. Worf. Well, it's a good thing you bring up Star Trek because Trekkies get ready. Yeah. Oh, look at that transition. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, USS Enterprise, returns this week in Star Trek Picard, a new series coming to CBS All Access. Set two decades after the events of The Next Generation and its film spinoffs, the world and Starfleet is changing, and Captain Picard is still deeply affected by the loss of Lieutenant Commander Data and the destruction of Romulus as he tries to begin the next chapter of his life. It's being framed as a more emotional, character-driven story in the Star Trek universe that sees several returning characters from The Next Generation and Voyager. I only wish this was on actual TV and not CBS All Access.
Well, that's what they're using to get you to pay for it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works. Again, outlook is, I don't want to say bleak, but I don't see it gaining a lot of traction. Maybe prove me wrong, Trekkies. Go out to CBS All Access. Let me know how it is. That's Star Trek Picard coming to CBS All Access this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
Or, you know what, you can just go back into theaters and rewatch 1917 or Knives Out.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of good movies that everybody has to catch up on before the Oscar season.
Yep.
Lots of great stuff out there.
Yeah.
But
I saw 1917 over the weekend, too, so now I'm with you on the...
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very good. Very good war movie.
I like the fact, like I said in my review, it wasn't saccharine, and it wasn't like over-the-top melodrama. It would, like, walk this line of like hope, but also the question of like, was it all worth it?
Right.
Like, did it make a difference? You know, I feel like good war movies should walk that line.
Yeah, so go see that or Knives Out. I saw Knives Out is still available in some theaters.
I still haven't seen that. I really wanted to see
that. It's very good.
Oh, man.
Very good. Rian Johnson. I don't know if it's me or... the world, but I think Rian Johnson puts out good movies.
It's you against the world, Rich.
It is.
I don't know if it's me or the world. That is the.
I know. I so far I think his movies are pretty good.
I mean, I do too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yes. Anyway,
we got some news to get to.
Yes.
Recently this week, another streaming service has entered the ring. Comcast.
Oh, yeah, just what we needed.
And NBC Universal have revealed the first details of the new streaming service, Peacock.
endless trash.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe the details will convince you otherwise. Here's what we got, folks. April 15th, Peacock releases or launches for select Comcast customers. Basically, if you have Xfinity TV or broadband, you get access to Peacock streaming service. July 15th is when it rolls out nationally with a couple different subscription tiers. Here's the basic information. Essentially, and this is actually, I think, a decent deal. There's going to be a couple different ways you can get Peacock. First, you can get it for free, ad-supported, with about 5 minutes of ads per streaming hour, which is still less than broadcast TV. Right now, for an hour-long show, you're getting, what, about 43 minutes of actual show and like 17, 16 minutes of ads.
Yeah, something like that.
So still much better than actual TV. You get 7,500 hours of programming, next day access to current seasons of new series, full runs of old series. You get movies, news, sports, including the Olympics.
Wait, when you say Peacock free, is that free for everybody or free if you've got...
Free for everybody. So Comcast subscribers, so I'm going to be getting... It's a little confusing, but Peacock free, anybody can watch it with the ad-supported stuff. And the 7,500 hours of programming. I'm sure there's going to be content that's gated off with this next subscription tier called Peacock Premium. Now, Peacock Premium is also free, but only for Comcast subscribers who get Peacock Premium with ads, and then they can upgrade to go ad-free for $5 a month. If you're not a Comcast subscriber, you can get Peacock Premium for $10 a month, which is ad-free. So basically, you have Peacock free with ads for everyone, Peacock Premium free with ads for Comcast subscribers, upgrade to ad-free for $5, or ad-free for non-Comcast subscribers for $10. And this tier has the 15,000 hours of live content and on-demand content as well. So it's a little confusing, the tiered structure. Basically, it favors Comcast subscribers. Yay me, because I have Comcast. But also, if you don't have Comcast, it's a little confusing. What do you think of the multiple? What do you think of the ad supported free version? I thought that was pretty.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's a free version.
There's a free option for everyone. Yeah,
yeah, that's good. That I feel like that should be needed for any sort of the broadcast one. CBS should have something like that.
I don't know if CBS does. To be honest, I haven't really researched it that much.
I don't think they do.
Ooh. You know what? I just don't care about CBS. Like, honestly, first off, Peacock is a terrible name, but I'm much more interested in this solely for things like Parks and Rec, The Office, SNL, you know, stuff like that. I'd be very interested in looking into this Peacock service. At least the ad supported one. 5 minutes per hour, that's not bad. That's comparable to like per streaming hour. So that's like comparable to Hulu's free tier. I know it kind of sucks, but like just get some popcorn or, you know, a drink or something the ads are running.
Put on some tea.
Go to the bathroom, whatever. At least it beats like the 17 minutes of it. Have you ever tried watching The Walking Dead recently? Oh my God.
No.
Well,
I haven't.
Good.
I literally just have been giving up.
Because the first half of season 10, like, it's literally like 20 minutes of ads per hour. It's insanity. So anything that's less than that is still better.
Oh, I just realized I'm going to be in trouble for Better Call Saul because I do want to watch that. Oh, that's probably going to be like 20 minutes ads.
Well, AMC is the worst. But anyway, I digress. The ad-supported free version is great because you still get access to The Office and Parks and Rec and all those old run TV shows. You also get curated genre channels like they have. It seems like they're offering a lot in terms of like different ways to watch content. So they have like sort of Netflix, how it does like different genres. They're going to have like SNL Vault and Family Movie Night. And the one that caught my eye was LNO Dun Dun, which is a channel devoted to nonstop Law and Order, which is, yeah, which is hilarious. That's what they titled it. LNO Dun Dun.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that sound effect. So
yeah. You'll be able to hear it a lot if you're watching on Peacock, that one channel. In terms, oh my God, in terms of In terms
it
of other,
stop.
I know it won't stop. It's just.
Oh my god! I can't stop it.
Oh my god. Okay. In terms of content and features, the service. I'm just going to steamroll. In terms of content and features, the service will learn about your viewing habits, just like Netflix and Hulu and everything else. They do have a cool new thing called the trending category, which has daily short form content like sports highlight reels and late night clips and like pop culture updates. So you don't even have to dive in and watch all of like Jimmy Fallon. It'll just have like the highlights, and same thing with sports. So it seems like they're doing what everybody basically already does on YouTube, and they're just rolling it into this streaming service, you know, because nobody, I don't watch late night anymore. Just go on YouTube and watch the 6 minute clips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that same thing with SNL, you know,
everyone has lost their attention spans. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like they're catering to that right here with this trending feature. Speaking of the late night shows, you can also watch them early. Like Seth Meyers will be available at 8 p.m. Every day. If you want to watch the late night shows early, there's also going to be 600 movies at launch. The big one, of course, is the Universal films and DreamWorks films. Big catalog there. Jurassic Park, part of Universal. So you can watch Jurassic Park whenever you want to. If anybody's interested. Okay.
Are they going to do the Universal movie universe or whatever the hell that was?
I have no idea.
Remember that? Remember that was a thing?
Oh, yes. That was a thing.
Hey, everyone. Remember when that was a thing?
What was the Mummy?
It was supposed to be the Mummy, Frankenstein...
They just gave up.
And they just gave up.
They're just like, nah. Well, the Mummy tanked, so they were like, nah, whatever. But if you want to watch The Mummy, it'll probably be on Peacock.
There you
so
go.
You can go watch the one and only Universal Monster Universe.
Monster.
The UMU.
Monster Universe. Cinematic Universe.
The Monster Cinematic Universe. The MCU.
You don't know. The Universal Monster Cinematic Universe.
The UMCU.
You have to put two. It has to be two universes.
Yes. Two universes.
That's how bad it was.
It was really bad. This is actually really exciting. You'll probably enjoy this. There's a bunch of new comedies announced from brilliant comedic minds like Tina Fey, Mike Schur, who does The Good Place, Amy Poehler, and Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, Mike Schur.
Yeah. So I really want to see what his next project is, but also Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, they're going to have new projects. And also, this was kind of caught my attention. A possible reboot or spinoff of The Office. Now, I say possible because they're just playing around with the idea, but they really want to lean into The Office thing. That's been Netflix's most popular streaming show. Obviously, Netflix is going to lose the rights to that in 2021, at which point it will revert back to NBC and be exclusive to the Peacock service. So it makes sense that they want to capitalize on that. But all that being said, Rich, the question that always gets asked with these new streaming services, is this something you'd be interested in? Have they made a strong enough case for people to get on board with this Peacock streaming service?
Well, I like the fact that they offered a free service that you can.
I think that's really smart.
Right. I don't like the fact, though, that there's probably going to be some sort of wall or something, because you said that the Peacock free only has 7,500 hours of programming, but the main Peacock premium has 15,000 hours. So something's going to be cut out.
Yeah. And I'm just going based on what's being reported. And I don't know where the extra 7,500 hours is coming from. Like, I don't know if that's like just live broadcasts or sports programming. I hope they don't gate anything off like The Office, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, the movies. Like, I don't know exactly where that paywall comes crashing down.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that does give me cause for concern.
And ultimately, it's another bill you're going to have to add if you want to have all the content at your fingertips, which...
Yeah. Is $10 steep for, like, a specific channel streaming service? I mean, you're also getting Universal, because it's Comcast, NBC, Universal. They're all like one big conglomerate. So you're also getting the Universal aspect, but it's only one movie studio and one television studio. So is that enough?
I don't. Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is you can't just look at this only. You have to look at this as like, okay, you have this plus CBS plus Netflix plus Hulu. Who knows ABC, Fox down the line will probably do something that
Fox is part of Disney Plus and Hulu, right, but are. Disney Plus is one you got to subscribe to now.
Is, I don't know. I'm sure there, I'm,
there's the, probably the, an ABC one.
The point is, at some point, there's going to be another one down the pike you're going to have to,
yeah,
you know, subscribe to. You know, at some point, at some point, the next streaming service is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm worried about when it comes to all these streaming services. So
I feel like
I'm hesitant.
We are definitely hitting a point of oversaturation. Because I know, me personally, I have Amazon Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus. I use my brother's Hulu. You know, I get HBO through Comcast, but if we ever get rid of cable, we would have to resubscribe to HBO Max or HBO Go.
Yeah,
or
HBO's whatever, got their own thing.
Whatever it is. So, you're already looking at five, you know, just for the stuff that I watch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it makes it tougher. And that was the whole point. They want to make it tougher to cut the cord. They want you to keep the cable subscription.
Yeah.
You know? And so I actually think it's a smart move that they're giving it access to this Peacock Premium free to all Comcast subscribers, because they're like, hey, keep your cable because now you get this cool streaming service.
Yeah.
Like, I will definitely, I don't know if I'll pay the $5 to upgrade to ad free, but I'll definitely use the Peacock Premium because of the Comcast subscription. So when it comes out on April 15th, I'll be sure to have a review just like we did with Disney Plus. You know, I'll tell you all about it. I want to know what their original program is going to be like. Is it going to be more like hit or miss stuff like Star Trek Picard is with CBS All Access? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be enough to draw people in? I'm really interested to see the Mike Schur project.
Yeah.
Because he's been really good. So
I love The Good Place.
Obviously, they're going to use something like that to be like, hey, come check this out. They also have a new series based on the book Brave New World, which is like one of the best dystopian novels ever written. So I'm definitely going to check that out. But yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, I don't know. These channel-specific ones really make me concerned.
Right, right. At some point, it's gonna get too divvied up.
Yeah.
And at that point, there will be other methods you're going to have to go through to get your content.
Other methods.
Yeah. The ones that...
The less legal methods.
Just ones that involve an eye patch.
Oh, arg, matey. I get you.
Correct.
So there you go. That's the rundown on the Peacock streaming service. Comcast subscribers out there, make sure you pay attention April 15th. Everybody else, July 15th, you'll be able to get your hands on it. At least try out the free version, see what it's all about. I feel like I'm just a corporate shill.
Yes, you are.
I don't have to worry about it because I have Comcast, so I get the premium one April 15th.
Yes,
so.
You are. You're a fan of Apple. You're a fan of Disney. You're corporate, Mr. Corporate.
First off, Apple and Disney both put out quality products, despite what everybody would have you believe. Okay?
Apple's debatable.
It's not debatable. My laptop lasted 9 years, and it still had legs.
Yeah,
okay?
Good for you.
Anyway.
Well, let's get to another corporate overlord that we both love, Sony. And this is something that we want to talk about last week, but Nena actually crashed the show, so we had to cancel this part of the show out. But this is somewhat big news that Sony is skipping E3 for the second straight year. So no PlayStation presentation at E3, which is supposed to be the biggest video game convention of the year.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing that they're going to be skipping, because last year, now for the past couple of years, I've always enjoyed watching the E3 press conferences, seeing all the latest games, seeing all the new trailers and new announcements. And so not having my favorite console brand there was kind of a letdown, and it's a letdown again this year. But on the flip side, so in the video game industry, people have been talking about how E3 is sort of losing its impact. Like, it's not as big a deal as it used to be, because a lot of these big video game companies, they want to talk directly to the gamers. So they're putting out, like, they have their own press conferences and events throughout the year. And that's sort of what Sony's been doing. They've been putting out these state of play videos. They're like 20 minutes long, where they basically just like a series of trailers and announcements in like a fancy package. I mean, it's more cost effective for them it keeps the spotlight solely on them instead of having to share the stage with every other big company. Not only that, but all the big games like Call of Duty are on all the consoles. They're going to be advertised at E3 anyway. So why put on a press conference just to advertise something that's going to be advertised regardless? But I think the big reason why Sony is skipping E3, there's been a lot of rumors about this, is that Sony might be gearing up for a potential PlayStation 5 reveal sometime within the next month or two. Similar to how they did it. So if everyone remembers back to 2013, Sony revealed the PlayStation 4 in February of that year. So people are thinking same thing might happen this year. What do you think about that?
The PlayStation 5. We've officially hit that point.
Well, Xbox is already out there with the Xbox Series X. I hate their naming convention.
Whatever the hell they're calling it. Yeah.
It looks like a fridge. Is all you got. Have you seen the pictures of it?
Yeah.
The big vertical tower.
It does.
It's like this big, it like looks like the monolith from 2001 Space Odyssey, except dopey because it's a video game console.
Yeah.
So Xbox is already, they've already announced it. They have the image of it. It's already confirmed holiday this year. Sony said, yeah, PlayStation 5 holiday this year. So they just announced they're not going to be at E3. The next logical step is, hey, we don't need E3 because, boom, PlayStation 5 reveal event. It's what they did with the PlayStation 4 back 7 years ago. So everybody's sort of connecting the dots, and they're like, okay, you know, are we getting gearing up for a potential reveal? What do you think? Does that make sense for Sony?
I think so. I think that's what the next logical step is.
It's the smart move, right?
And there's also been stories that they've already copyrighted the PS5 logo, PlayStation 5 trademark within the past months. So it makes sense that this is what they're gearing up for.
Yeah, and in terms of timing, like, it's the perfect opportunity. You want to get all the news cycle early in the year, you know, so that way when it does roll around to E3, you know, Xbox is already out there, PlayStation 5 has already been revealed, and all the game trailers are going to be about these two new consoles, and Sony won't have to worry about, you know, having an actual press conference. They're going to let everybody else do the work for them, you know, because all the big EA is going to have their own press conference, Ubisoft is going to have its own press conference. We could be talking about the games anyway.
Right.
So why should Sony? And then Sony can sit back, and a week after E3, they're like, here's a new State of Play video.
Yeah.
Like a half hour video. Like, by the way, this is what we've been working on.
I feel like E3 is now more for the game itself, you know? Whereas now Sony, Microsoft, they do their own thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's E3 has become like people in the area might be familiar with like the Too Many Games convention. You know, it's for like people to go and try out stuff and buy merchandise and, you know, see for the gamers to see the games. It used to be a press event for announcements and reveals. And it's
not really that anymore.
Yeah. In this digital age where everybody's, you know, every game company and developer and studio is just, you know, they put out their own stuff whenever they want to because they can get it directly to the consumer via Twitter and Facebook and YouTube whenever they want.
Yeah.
They don't need to wait for the big industry event.
Right.
So I think Sony is following the same thinking of Nintendo, and they're capturing the news cycle on their own terms, which I think is a smart move.
I would agree as well. And it probably brings us a step closer to the PlayStation 5 era.
Looking forward to it.
That's crazy.
I'm hoping in the next month or two we're going to get a reveal. Can't wait.
All right. Well, there you go. That is our predictions for the future of Sony and the PlayStation. With that down, it's time to end the entertainment entree, but we still have one more bit of the show coming your way, and that is the weekly batch of odd news, and I do have a fresh batch of fresh odd news for you coming your way in the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Deputies arrested 63-year-old Michael Brian Falls and charged him with aggravated stalking and threats against an elected official. The case began when Mayor John Bartus reported to the sheriff's office that he received 6 profanity-laced voicemails. In the voice messages, he made threats such as, "When I'm done, I'm going to show you your grave, sir."
Wow.
I like the fact you put "sir" at the end. He still respects his office.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You might not respect the person, but you should respect the office.
Yes, sir. Then, Falls made another outrageous claim. He says that he has authority from the FBI.
Wow.
Yes.
So he has authority from the FBI because he works for them, or they just granted some random citizen special authority? I'm like, I'm unclear.
What, is this a contest?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because the way it was phrased in the story made it sound like they just granted him special immunity or something.
Hey, guys, it's time for the FBI lottery.
That's right, where one lucky citizen gets full high security clearance.
You get to look up anything you want about anybody using the power of the FBI. Oh, I think we got an idea now for a new game show. I don't know about you. Oh, yes, come on down to FBI Selection Lottery. You get to have the power of the entire Federal Bureau of Investigations at your fingertips.
That's right. Available for one of you to win today.
Here on FBI Lottery Show.
So it's literally just a whole show with them with a bingo roller thing. They pick a number, and that's it. That one person has the entire power of the FBI behind them.
Yes.
That is terrifying.
Well, it's all possible here on FBI Lottery Show.
Oh, my God. So this guy was the winner of the FBI Lottery sweepstakes.
Yeah, apparently. He said that if he could, he would get the mayor into a room and yell shoot, and then the FBI could shoot him.
What? Just any room. They're going to get him.
So that's the bonus round of FBI Lottery Show.
You get to straight up murder someone.
Yes, you get to choose one person.
Wow.
And that's it. They're done.
This is a terrifying future you're creating, but I want to watch.
It's FBI Lottery Show.
The end of the show is like, and we understand, you know, the winner. You know, we understand, Bob, that you have some special guests with you.
Yes, they're going into this unmarked room.
That's right.
He was taken to the county jail.
And the FBI didn't help him at all.
I guess not.
I can just picture him being arrested and just yelling, "Shoot, shoot!"
I won the FBI Lottery Show!
That's right. He pulls out a ticket. See, right here! It's like, sir, that's a napkin.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. We're moving right along into the third, the final, but certainly not the least portion of the show. Matter of fact, I'd say this is probably the craziest portion of the show coming your way next. Isn't that right, Mike?
Oh, that is absolutely correct. It's time for one of my favorite parts of the show. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandata bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. What do you got for us?
All right. Our food. Wow.
Our food.
I'm hungry.
I was snacking during the break. Sorry. And I asked you if you wanted a snack.
Sorry.
And you said no.
No, I'm good. I meant to say our first odd news story here. A reputable news source here, ABC News.
Oh.
ABC News cutting straight in on my action here.
Yeah, straight from the news desk.
I don't like this, ABC. Go away. This is my news, all right?
So wait, this story made it mainstream?
Yes. It was sent in by listener Julianne. Thank you for listening to the show and submitting this story. And this is a story that did go viral, so you may have heard of this, but let's cover it for everybody. A deaf man has decided to sue Pornhub and other pornographic websites because he says he cannot enjoy video content without the proper closed captioning.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
How will I know what they're saying to each other?
Right. How are you supposed to enjoy the story?
Right. I know. And you just get so engrossed in the narrative.
Yeah.
You know?
Why is this woman dealing with another guy holding a pizza box with extra sausage in it?
Hey, wait a second. That's not a sausage.
Wait a minute. What's going on over here?
Sausage!
So wait. He's suing them because they don't have closed captioning?
Right.
They don't?
Most of them don't, yeah.
Oh.
Yaroslav, oh my god, what did, this is the guy's name, Yaroslav Suris?
Sure.
Yes, I'm gonna go with that. Yaro, I'm gonna call him Yaro.
Call him Yaro.
Yeah. Yaroslav Suris, or as I'm calling him, Yaro, from New York, tried to watch videos on Pornhub in October 2019, but says that he could not enjoy them due to the website's lack of closed captioning.
What?
According to the lawsuit he actually filed in the Eastern District of New York.
Okay.
Yes. The lawsuit alleges that Pornhub, RedTube, and YouPorn are in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act because they are not providing full and equal enjoyment of a public accommodation's goods or services, which is the legal standing in the
you
act.
You know what? I mean, he might have a point.
Yeah.
I mean, legally, technically, he might have a point.
Yeah.
Realistically, I mean, come on now. But I don't want to seem cold and callous, but I mean, you know.
But
you're not really going there for the sound design.
But the ADA actually says you have to provide full and equal enjoyment of a public accommodation's goods or services.
I can't wait to hear these lawyers argue if the enjoyment is being impacted.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
boy, whoever wrote the ADA never realized that they stuck enjoyment in that place and this was going to come to fruition here.
Yeah.
Some enjoyment here.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
All right, let me ask you a question, Rich. Do you need the audio?
What, for porn?
Yeah.
I mean, it helps.
I don't need it.
Oh, good for you.
I'm just saying. You know, you said
I can jerk off to anything. I'm Michael Costanzo.
That's a talent. No, I'm just saying it doesn't.
Oh, I want that on like a business card.
It is on my business card. It's like, hi, here's my card.
And
that's everyone's reaction, you know? It's a conversation starter.
Behold.
Behold. But no, well, I mean, actually, you don't really need the audio.
So wait a minute. In your racket station, you didn't have speakers?
No, there were no speakers.
It was all visual.
It was all screen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I had so many monitors.
That's exactly.
There you go.
But the point is, though, is that a lot of times you don't need it.
I mean, it helps.
It helps, but it's all sometimes they're just annoying. It's like, all right, just shut up. And you end up muting it anyway.
You bitch, shut up. Is that you?
No, because sometimes it's just grating.
Look at this woman. Yep, 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 yep.
There's too much talking.
Open up that mouth.
Who's got time for that?
Damn, Mike. Jeez, I didn't realize you were that rough with your porn selection.
No, it's just... It's just there's a lot of nonsense that you don't really need. You just cut through the BS.
This woman won't stop talking. Yada,
I know.
Yada,
they
yada.
They should know their place, right? No. It's bad. It's wrong.
That's why they all start in the kitchen. And they move further.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez, Mike, I can't believe
Maybe
you.
In your videos that's where
Mike,
they all start. No, I watch videos where they're treated equally and with respect.
And I want to support websites that provide the full and equal enjoyment of a public accommodation's goods and services.
I never really considered whether or not there were closed captioning.
Yeah, apparently there's not.
You got to watch the foreign stuff that has the, you know,
the subtitles.
Yeah.
There you go. The lawsuit reads, websites that prevent accessibility to deaf and hard of hearing individuals is a discriminatory act. Pornhub's vice president, Corey Price, has disputed the claim and says that while we do not comment on active lawsuits, we like to take this opportunity to point out that some videos do have a closed captions category.
So, like, here's the thing, though. A lot of times, audio, there's nothing that can be closed caption. You know what I mean?
Gasp.
Anything amateur or anything that's just like, you know, just people getting themselves off. Like, there's nothing to really like.
Oh, that's a good point.
There's nothing to close caption. It's only the ones that have acting in it.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, there's entire genres where you don't need it.
Well, was it Pornhub also acts like an adult YouTube because people can upload their own content.
Exactly.
So does...
Unless people are having whole conversations when they're making their homemade videos.
So, yeah, how would that fall with this? Would the people who upload videos there have to provide their own closed captioning?
I can just see the content creators going through and, like, typing in, like, gasp, gasp. Oh, yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like...
Extra sausage.
That's the point. It's not applicable, though.
Yeah.
To a lot of videos. Think, Rich. You have experience.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Everybody, everybody does.
Yeah.
Like, there's huge swaths of videos that don't require any sort of audio or closed captioning to get the gist across.
I also just realized this is listed in the lawsuit. Yarrow, whoever this guy is, apparently listed two of his videos he was trying to watch.
Oh.
Because you have to mention a specific
video.
Right. So
what were the videos?
So now we know Mr. Yaroslav Suris of New York, his favorite videos are number one, Hot Step Ant Babies. Oh. Hot step aunt. That's what it's supposed to be.
Hot step aunt.
I thought for a minute step was the verb here.
Hot step aunt.
I'm hot stepping over here. Do, do, do,
do, do. No. Hot stepping aunt.
Right. No. Hot step aunt babysits disobedient nephew.
Okay.
That's interesting.
All right. A little kinky. All right.
And sexy cop gets witness to talk.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So those were the two videos that he tried.
So he's like into discipline.
I guess he is. Yeah, between the cop and the
seems to be a
disobedient
there, yeah.
nephew. Yeah, this guy's.
I wonder how they were disciplined. Were they put in timeout?
We don't know. There's no closed captioning.
There's no closed. We'll never know.
Ah!
For some reason, the clothes came off. That's not how you discipline a child.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I don't think this is an educational video.
This isn't how witnesses talk to cops.
Yeah.
You don't need to know the storyline. I'm following this line of thought here.
Okay.
How much money would it take to, because apparently this guy had to give up a couple of his YouTube or
browsing Pornhub, habits.
Yeah. How much money would it take you to give up your browsing history?
Because
this guy's trying to claim compensatory damages, civil penalties, and fines.
Well, how much is he suing for? Does it say?
No, just that he's seeking damages, civil penalties,
so,
and fines.
So he's realistically, both of those are very tame. Right. In the grand scheme of things, those are very tame.
Right.
I don't know. There's nothing in my history that's that outlandish. I wouldn't feel comfortable sharing it with everyone publicly on ABC News.
Yeah, that's right. This is going on ABC News.
Yeah, that went super mainstream. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a very private person in general.
I don't think this Yarrow guy thought this lawsuit through.
Because now it's like out there.
Right.
You know?
Your Pornhub browsing history is now publicly known.
I'm gonna keep mine close to the chest. What about you? I don't know.
I'd go like 25,000.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Let me see if I can create a pool and see what you browse. You'd probably tell me anyway.
Yeah. I'll tell you after this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but you know, I'm a normally private individual. I probably have to be a larger amount than 25,000.
Yeah, all right. Well, this guy, I don't know, maybe, I don't think he thought things through, because, yeah, his whole Pornhub history has been released in this lawsuit.
Not the whole history, just the two videos.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to imagine at some point he's going to have to list other videos that he was trying to watch, and there was no closed caption.
That could get kind of dicey.
Yeah.
Like, both of those are fairly tame, but like, there's some really, like, weird, dark corners, you know?
So... True story.
Have thought that one through.
And it is all official. This is all on ABC News. So I am not digging the crazy corners of the internet here. This is mainstream on ABC News.
You know what?
And sent in by Julianne. Thank you, Julianne, for sending
you,
that
Julianne.
To us.
You know what the most interesting thing about it is that I love the technicality of it. Like, he does sort of have an argument.
Yeah.
I would argue that realistically, it's not applicable, but technically...
The actual statement in the ADA says full and equal enjoyment of a public accommodation's goods or services.
I want to hear the argument. Like, is it equal? Like, because he would reach the same conclusion to the story without the closed captioning,
but not,
if you know what I
but
mean.
But not an equal enjoyment.
I mean, how do you measure enjoyment in this case?
Well, there you go.
Get a measuring cup.
All right, I'm going to leave that one float out there. So, there you go. Thank you, Julianne, for that incredible story. And yeah, it's legit. All right, next story, going to Iowa in this next next
middle
one.
Of nowhere.
I know you love a good Iowa story.
Oh yeah.
Incensed that a Burger King employee would not honor a coupon he offered, an Iowa man first threw a cell phone at the worker, then climbed over the counter and struck the victim in the head with the phone, according to cops.
Ah!
Yeah, just saying.
That was a new one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the most shocking part of the story. That's a new clip and it's terrifying.
Ah! Yeah.
Half our listeners just veered right off the road.
Yep. Well, that's probably what the guy sounded like.
So he didn't. So the coupon wasn't accepted.
Yeah.
He lets out that primal rage scream, throws the phone.
Yeah.
Hops the counter.
Yep.
Retrieves the phone.
Yep.
And hits the person with the phone.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just hold the phone the entire time?
Because he's very upset over here.
Right, I got that process down, right? He threw it, and then he retrieved it.
Well, there's one more thing here. Let me get to it.
Okay.
So first, cops say that 34-year-old Jeremiah Wenzel was arrested for assault following this confrontation in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. According to police, they said Wetzel allegedly attempted to use a coupon, but the Burger King didn't honor it. He became upset and threw his phone at the 43-year-old male employee. Afterwards, a Burger King worker said that he was going to call police on him. Wenzel, who was actually accompanied by his mother in the back.
Oh, my God.
Said.
Really?
Yes. Said that, hey, that's my phone, you dumbass. That's my phone.
Don't throw it at him then.
Yeah. So Wenzel threw his mother's phone at him.
Oh, his mother. Oh, the mother said, wait, what?
Yes, apparently he was holding his mom's phone for some odd reason.
And he threw the mom's phone.
Yes.
Look, all right, that invalidates the whole thing. If you're not angry enough to throw your own phone, you're not angry enough to get your coupons accepted.
Yeah. When he realized he had thrown his mom's phone, Wenzel then climbed over the counter. And that's when he decided to strike the man over the head with the phone. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, just he's had enough.
And you know who the real victim in all this is? The mother. Like, why?
Yeah.
The mother's just sitting there like, why are you the way you are?
Right. And why are you throwing my phone?
And why are you throwing my phone? How'd you get my phone? Why did you throw it? And why are you the way you are right now?
Thanks, Burger King. You're like, you're more disappointing than my son.
Yeah.
apparently, it was strong enough to cause bleeding.
Well, I mean, phones are pretty...
I didn't think so. I mean, I guess.
They're
pretty solid. It would hurt, but I didn't think it would be enough to draw blood.
You don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about fighting. Don't
Yeah, but you can
me.
Feel a phone. You can pick up a phone, and they're like, they got hard edges and made of metal and glass, and, you know.
I don't know. Don't trust me when it comes to fight. I have no idea. I didn't even watch UFC this weekend, so...
Apparently, there was a big fight. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, there was. So, Conor McGregor came back this
weekend. Is he still a person?
Yes, he's still a thing.
Okay.
He came back, and he beat some guy, cowboy something, in like 40 seconds.
Okay. Is that impressive? I don't know.
It is. Okay. But personally, if I had spent $60 on the pay-per-view and it only lasted 40 seconds...
Oh, I'd be super pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, super pissed.
This is why I don't follow UFC. I'm sorry.
Is Conor McGregor a UFC person or is he a boxing person?
Both. He did boxing for a little bit.
Which one's he supposed to be good at?
UFC.
Oh, that's why he beat him in 40 seconds.
Yeah.
It's still dumb.
Anyway.
We digress.
This was not UFC.
Look,
this
UFC is dumb. This is dumb. Everything is dumb.
Right.
Burger King is dumb.
Right. Wenzel fled after the attack, but he was subsequently arrested at their home. So, yeah, there you go. The mom probably gave him up. They're like, son of a bitch, he broke my phone. Now cops come over here. Get him.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That's exactly that was verbatim.
Right.
What happened.
Right. And that scream was also live audio from the incident. Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Yes. Very angry.
Do you just search screams on YouTube? Just
no.
Pull up YouTube and be like, screams.
No, that's from Full Metal Jacket. I love that. I love that movie. Okay, next story. Let's do South Carolina here.
Okay.
Yeah.
we don't really go there that often.
No. And this is just one of those stories that you just figure, yeah, I guess this is probably going to happen at some point. A homeless man was rescued from inside the hopper of a garbage truck after the dumpster he was sleeping in was emptied into the vehicle, according to cops.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Yep, just, he was taking his...
I feel like that...
Sleep?
He's taking his sleep.
Yep,
yeah.
And just... psh.
I feel like that's probably happened a bunch of times before to people.
According to Myrtle Beach cops, 62-year-old Mark Mancini had been in a dumpster when the truck picked up the dumpster at 4:20 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
Poor
in the middle
guy.
Of his sleep. He's trying to
I
get
know. He's so early.
He's trying to get a solid 8 hours, and these guys come through and just ruin his sleep.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
He was snug as a bug in a rug with all those other bugs and rugs.
Literally.
In the dumpster, literally, yeah.
Literally with all the bugs.
You know, I don't think I could ever sleep in a dumpster. And I mean, I don't know. I feel bad for him in the situation that he's in, that he's sleeping in a dumpster. But like, that's too, so gross.
Yeah. But if you don't have any money, yeah, where do you go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude, oh, man, it makes me sad to think people probably do that. Like, lots of people probably do that. And people probably end up in trash trucks all the time.
Well, I would hope, though, you would hear, like, the dumpster.
What if he's a really sound sleeper? What
he
if he has his, he has, like, you know, banana peels in his ears, like earplugs, you know, or like a sleep mask, you know?
He must be a really deep sleeper, because I don't know how you don't hear the garbage truck backing up. That
right.
takes a lot of noise.
And it's like picking it up. That's got to be like jostling you around a whole bunch.
Right, and then not to mention
all the metal clanging.
It dumps you like like you fall.
Well, he's probably awake at that point. He's
I
like,
would hope
uh-oh.
So.
But at that point, it's too late because you're already falling.
Yeah.
You got to wake up before it starts lifting you.
Actually, this is like it's like Inception when you fall. This
right.
Is
this is the kick.
The kick. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's going through the dream levels. This is the kick.
That's right. Oh, this whole time. I was like,
yeah. What was the? Oh, I can't remember any of their names. The guy is dreaming. This was.
Yes.
God,
there
that
it
was
is.
Loud.
He's using it as the kick.
Yeah.
Help!
So poorly planned their heist.
Yeah. You quick! You're gonna fall asleep in the dumpster. Yeah. Get ready.
The movie Inception 2 was decidedly less interesting.
Yeah.
It's just a homeless guy sleeping in a dumpster.
We tried our best.
We tried our best.
You know, I mean,
Leo DiCaprio fell on some hard times. He spent all the money he made from doing that corporate heists and espionage.
Yeah.
Now he's sleeping in dumpsters.
So cops then heard someone yelling for help from the truck's trash compartment.
Oh, my God.
That's when they discovered Mancini was inside the garbage truck.
Don't those things get crushed?
Isn't there
a crusher in there?
Well, luckily, I guess he must have stopped before that happened because the only thing he had was hip injuries.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, some have
garbage trucks. Well, because think about how much trash they have to pick up.
Yeah, some
they
have
crush
that,
it down.
Like,
yeah.
That compressor thing. Yeah.
How many people have died in garbage trucks?
I don't know. Do you think there's an actual report about it?
There has to be.
Oh, my God. poor people.
Let me see. Deaths, injuries involving recycling and garbage trucks. Let me see.
There's an actual
this
report.
This is truckingwatchdog.com.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's the website I go to after ABC News.
Okay. So this group reports, what is this? Solid Waste Association of North America. Okay. Data for 2017 shows 107 garbage/refuse trucks fatalities and another 1,400 plus injury crashes. Are these crashes?
That's what they probably are. They're probably crashes.
Yeah, it seems like these are crashes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't have time to research all this, but I feel like it's probably happened before.
Yep. All right. How about we move on from that? And I think it is time for everyone's favorite segment, some good old fashioned Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's time to get to some Florida stories.
Good old Florida. What are they up to this week?
Oh, boy. And I knew I had to pick this one for you, Mike.
Okay.
Inside an elementary school, cake frosting was spread across desks and chairs. Frosting footprints dotted the room. There was a TV remote control covered. And then there was the poop, according to cops. Yes.
Then there was the poop.
Yep.
Okay, so wait. Cake frosting.
And poop.
And poop. Sounds like a party.
Yep. Fun party. Deputies on Friday arrested the man that they believe to be behind this mess. 25-year-old Christian Shea broke into the Bear Lake Elementary School with his sexual organs on full display, according to deputies. Surveillance footage recorded Shea clad in a University of Florida gator shirt, but no pants or underwear, so he's Donald Ducking it.
Of course.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's hot in Florida, okay? It gets humid. He's got to air it out.
So once he broke in, then he found a cake that was in one of the rooms.
Okay, just random cake.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Who left the cake?
Maybe it was like somebody's birthday.
And they just left it there?
It just, I guess, maybe.
Poor cake.
Oh, wait, was it unattended?
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
They're
just chilling there?
There's nobody there's nobody in the school at this point.
Okay.
So there's just a random cake
there,
apparently.
Wait, what time of day was this again? Does it say? You said there's no one in the school.
There's no one in the school.
So it's either really early or really late.
Right.
In either case, yeah, why is the cake still there?
Right. Yeah, who leaves a cake behind?
Right. No cake left behind.
Well, he found this cake, and he left it in parts all over the place. Deputies found cake frosting spread across the floor, the teacher's desk, chairs, and drawers.
Okay.
He also took some of the frosting, put it on his foot, and decorated the room with his feet.
Okay.
So he made little cake footprints.
That's super weird. He's definitely on all the drugs.
He's having a good old time.
Hello!
So I like their choice of word, decorated.
Yeah.
Was he really decorating?
He's having some fun with the cake.
He's having some fun, yeah.
He also then threw a black stapler into a toilet.
So he left the cake room to go to the bathroom.
And threw a black stapler in there.
And okay.
Just like that.
He hated that stapler.
Something about that black stapler, man. He didn't like it at all.
It wronged him somehow.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, he did not like that one. So after the cake was kaput, then... then he just, apparently, he just started to take a crap right in the middle of the classroom.
Okay.
Yeah, right then and there. And he took the television remote from the classroom and shoved it into the poop.
Ew. But why? Of everything, why the TV? I don't know. The TV remote is so weird.
This is nuts. There is no rhyme or reason for any of this.
The stapler in the toilet, the remote in the poop.
Yeah.
He's just like causing, it's just anarchy. It's just right. Chaos for the sake of chaos.
Right. He also grabbed a leftover child sweatshirt and threw that into the poop as well.
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah.
He's got a poop sweatshirt now.
No, that kid's not having that sweatshirt back anytime soon. No.
Burn it.
Yeah, burn it. A deputy also then found an underwear hanging from one of the building. What?
Wait, what? That doesn't even make an underwear.
Yeah, one of his underwear.
But hanging from the building.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So maybe before he broke into the school on camera, he took off his underwear and threw it on the building.
Okay.
That's...
I mean, that's the only way... Could have gotten there,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Right, because once he's in the building, it says
right. He's Donald Ducking.
He's Donald Ducking, and yeah. He has no pants or underwear.
He's pooping and sticking stuff in the poop. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, that's it. Whew, oh my god, like I'm exhausted reading all of that. That is a lot of things to do.
I mean, he was clearly on all the drugs, right?
So deputies caught Shay on Friday, and that's when he admitted to being the half-naked, frosting and crap-covered burglar.
Didn't even try. Didn't even try an excuse.
He claims that this all started when he took some marijuana, and he found out that the blunt he used had been laced.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. That's why he went all crazy.
So he went really crazy.
Yeah.
Sticking sweaters and poop crazy.
He was charged with damaging property, burglary of a structure, petite theft, indecent exposure of sexual organs, and a nuisance injurious to health. Wow.
I like that one.
That's a lot
a
of charges.
Nuisance injurious to health.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Well, there you go. That's what happens when you... take a crap in the middle of the classroom and you throw things in it.
So why don't they add that to like all of these? Like every single odd news story.
Yeah.
They should add that to it. Nuisance injurious to health.
Yep.
I like
that. Wow, that was a lot of things he went through.
Yeah. Really, really bizarre.
Yeah. And I can't come up with any logic.
I like that he was like in this room. He was like destroying this cake, walking all over with his frosting feet. And then in the middle, he's like, you know what? That stapler right there.
It's pissing me off.
It's looking at me funny.
Take that stapler.
Grabs it, finds a bathroom, throws it in the toilet.
But doesn't crap in the toilet.
No.
He's run back out.
This whole time he's holding in his poop.
Yeah.
And because he's Donald Ducking it, it's like a, you know, he's like really got to hold it in. You know what I mean? Because it's just going to be everywhere. But then he decides I can't hold it anymore. He just lets it rip in the middle of the classroom.
Yeah. And then I'm going to stick the remote control then, on it, yeah, like then, a flag.
So he's pooping, and just, you know, right next to where the stapler was, he sees the remote. Oh, that remote.
It's, yeah.
It's in cahoots with the stapler.
That's right. All the
They're
all
plotting. All the school supplies are plotting against me.
All the school supplies.
Gets the remote, sticks that in the poop. I want to know, how does he stick it in there? Does he like smear it in there? Does he stick it like a flagpole?
Right,
does he just rest it on top there? Does he bury it? Like I want to know what's going on here.
My first instinct was I thought he planted it like a flag.
Like a flag, right? He's like staking, like, this is my poop. Like a flag. He's claiming the territory. Was there enough poop to plant a flag?
Apparently there was enough to cover the television remote and the child's sweatshirt.
Well, maybe he just dipped the sweatshirt in it. Maybe it wasn't like fully like covered. You know what I mean? Did he try to clean it up with the sweatshirt?
I don't know. It doesn't say he tried to clean anything up.
That's super gross.
Yeah.
That poor kid. Yep. That sweatshirt is getting
that
burned.
Poor classroom.
If
I was the teacher in this classroom, that's it. I'm done. I'm walking out.
I just resign. You see the classroom. You're like, you know what? I quit.
Yep.
I quit.
Yep. Yeah. I've had a good run.
Yeah. I've had a good run. I draw the line at poop.
I draw the line at stapler in the toilet and poop on the ground. I'm good. Thank you very much.
Poop should be everybody's line. Once poop is involved, you're like, you know what? Pass.
It's been a good run.
Yeah, it's been a good run. Goodbye.
Yeah. Sorry, children. Bye.
Sorry, children.
You're on your own.
Good luck.
Good luck. You're on your own.
They got to grow up sometime, right?
Yep. Sorry. When there's cake and crap smeared everywhere. Yeah, that's it. I'm done.
The cake isn't so bad. It's the crap that's the real issue. It's still weird that the cake was smeared everywhere, because why was there a cake?
Right. Who left a cake in there?
Like, yeah. Like, I understand you have a party and there's a cake there, but like everybody just leaves and they just, nobody does anything with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole story. Bizarre.
Yep. All right. And I got one more Florida man story for us to end the non-Fortune Cookie news on.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And I love the visual imagining of this.
Okay.
So I want everyone to put on their imagination caps on, because this must have looked incredible when this happened. A Florida man who was wearing a pair of self-balancing hover skates rolled into a Walmart, filled up his cart with stolen items, and glided out of the Florida store without paying for the merchandise.
You would.
Yes, this is literally like Marty McFly making his escape in Back to the Future 2.
We gotta go back.
We gotta go back to the Walmart.
So wait, I want to know more about these. What were they, hover
skates?
What does that mean? What are hover skates? Are they like the actual hover skates?
Yes. Well, I mean, they don't actually hover, but they're like motorized wheels on your feet.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, is this what the future of drive-bys is going to be like?
Yeah, apparently.
Are hoverboards?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Cops in Winter Haven have released surveillance videos that shows this guy zipping into and around the store. According to the police department report, the suspect made off with $551 worth of merchandise, including paint, a trash can, a vehicle battery, a bouquet of flowers, a Roku TV, and a Motor Kicks hoverboard. So he got some more supplies to do
those
another.
Those are the dumbest things to steal ever. Paint?
Yeah.
Flowers? Are you trying to impress somebody with home remodeling? Like, what's happening here?
Honey, you won't believe what I did today.
Yeah. But I brought you flowers.
Yeah, that's what matters, right?
I was going to say, like, $550?
$551.
That's not that much to, like, steal. Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things,
I don't know, to put all in a cart and get out of there.
But think about it. Think of it this way: you go to the electronics section, you pick up one thing, you're already halfway there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm little. I'm impressed. I think this is a pretty, you know, pretty what, interesting.
You know, amount. You know what made it interesting is that to the commoner, to like the passing eye, it would seem like he's just doing regular shopping.
Yeah,
like paint, flowers, a battery.
Right. He has like a random list of things that you need.
But he was hoverboarding the entire time.
Hover skating.
Hover skating. Same difference.
Yeah. He wore Voyager brand space shoes. These shoes, which cost around $200, use self-balancing technology and are two motor skates that are independent of each other.
Okay. I'm looking them up. They're interesting.
Yeah.
So,
according to the website, space shoes can actually go as fast as 6 miles per hour.
Whoa.
I mean, on your
6.2, according to Walmart's website.
I mean, on your feet, that's really fast.
It is. Oh, but he's not getting very far. They can only go 5 miles per charge.
That's why he drove away in a 90s Nissan Maxima with two different sets of aftermarket chrome wheels and slight hood damage.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very good. Very good, Marty.
Very good. He's not hitting 88 in that thing, though.
No. Marty, what are you doing? We're not going to be able to hit 88 in this.
Oh, my God.
You're only getting up to 6 miles per hour. What are you doing, Marty?
6 miles per hour. Yeah.
Where does the plutonium go?
Stupid. Oh, my God.
I just like the visual image of him on these motor scoots. And
just like gliding along.
And he just, bolting it to the door.
Yeah.
Ah!
This looks so ridiculous.
Yeah.
This person with these, like, so I looked them up. They're like these bright green, like, and it's not like a board that's connected. They're like individual skates, like actual skates.
Yeah.
That are like, yeah.
Right, they're independent of each other.
Right, yeah. And he's just soaring around the store.
Right, he's just rolling around the Walmart in them. He hasn't been caught yet, so maybe he'll do another robbery soon, but he's out on the loose in Florida.
He's got to charge him up first.
Yep.
He only gets 5 miles per charge.
Good luck. Whoever this futuristic thief is, good luck. The hover skate guy.
The hover skate criminal.
Good luck and Godspeed. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
I just can't get over these little shoes.
Well, there you go.
This is so funny. Yeah.
There you go. We found Mikey's birthday present coming
there
up.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll be gliding.
I'll definitely be able to balance on those and not crack my head open.
Yeah, he'll be gliding around Walmart. But now with all the odd news done, let's go over everything that we've learned on this episode. It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that hover skates are the future of drive-by crimes.
Yeah.
Because they let you get up to 6.2 miles per hour.
That's pretty good.
Fast, yeah.
Just on your feet.
Yeah, exactly. And they're very versatile. You know, you can go on all sorts of, like, you know, it's not like a car. You know, you can go in and out of buildings with these and, you know, maintain speed.
Yeah, you'll be in and out of Walmarts.
Yeah.
Robbing the things you want in no time.
Exactly. So, all you aspiring criminals, hover skates.
There you go.
We also learned about this new, this charge, nuisance injurious to health.
Yeah.
I actually learned that.
New charge.
I'm going to use that for stuff. Nuisance injurious to health.
Yeah, brand new charge.
I feel like that's like a good like insult you can throw at people. You know, like you're a nuisance injurious to health. Like you're so annoying, you're physically harming my well-being.
There you go. The next time you have an annoying coworker.
Oh, I like that. Nuisance injurious to health.
Tell that to them.
There you go. That's one you can take to the bank, folks. What you can't take to the bank, though, is the script for Inception 2. It's much less interesting
yeah.
than Inception 1. It's just Leo sleeping in dumpsters.
In a dumpster.
Yeah.
And him getting dumped in the garbage truck is the
that's
the kick.
The kick that wakes him up, yeah. I also learned that we need closed captioning on porn videos. How will we ever know what that struggling student is going to say to the teacher to convince the teacher to give her a better grade? We'll never know.
I learned that it's fair and equal enjoyment.
What I didn't learn is how they measure that enjoyment.
Fair and equal enjoyment.
Yeah.
And also I learned that apparently Mike can jerk off to anything.
I mean, it's like the first skill I list in my resume.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Who doesn't?
Very good.
Yeah.
Put that on your curriculum vitae.
There you go. Be sure to get hired.
There you go. And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man, having too much fun. I feel like I blinked and already we're coming to the end of the podcast.
I know, that's a sign of a good show.
Yeah, a lot of interesting news in sports and entertainment, and then the craziness that fulfills us in the odd news.
Oh, always.
Sports, entertainment, odd news. What else could you ask for from a podcast such as ours? Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. You follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. So you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the promos that we use to go over the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo clip that you can easily share with friends and family, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, just like Julianne did week,
That's
you
right.
can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. If you have any odd news like Julianne did, send it my way. And if we use it, we'll give you a shout out. Thank you again to Julianne.
Good stuff.
She got the authority, ABC News.
I know. Bringing some class and legit news sources to the odd news.
ABC News covers porn, and then NBC covered the bucket, the lady
the
with
poop
the poop bucketer, bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this? All the mainstream news outlets are cutting to my turf.
Yeah, they're cutting into your turf.
Yeah, all right.
They're just like, hey, this is my odd news corner.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny. It's good to see them getting in on the fun. But for now, we got to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Barbara Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.